God, I thank you for everything that you have done. God, anoint this vessel of clay. Anoint me to speak a word, God, a word of healing, a word of deliverance, a word that will lift up the hung down head and mend the broken heart, a word that will light a fire in our bellies, that we'll pursue after you as never before. Come on, give God the praise in this place. Come on, give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. While you're standing, turn in your Bibles to 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter. God is yet on the throne. Whether you believe it or not. Amen. He's yet on the throne. Amen. And he's yet in control. 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter, the 1st through the 19th verse. Amen. There's a whole lot of stuff here. A whole lot of needed stuff. Because the church is, there's things that the world have need of. And the church has to be equipped to deal with the spiritual warfare that we're faced with. These kinds. Amen, amen. The church has to be equipped for new laws. And amen. This new anointing folks think they got. Amen. It's the art of being anointed without being anointed. Amen. The art of being spiritual without being spiritual. I don't know where they got it from, but it's new. Amen. That's why the Bible tells us to hold fast to that which is good. Because this new thing out here, newfangled. Amen. All right, if you're there, the Bible declares, again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Belial of Judah to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they sat the ark of God upon a new cart, and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeon, and Uzzi and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. And Helio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manners of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. And when they came to Nikon's threshing floor, Uzzi put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of God was kindled against Uzzi, and the God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzi, and he called the name of that place Perez Uzzi to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him and to the city of David. But David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And it was told King David, saying, the Lord have blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they had bare the ark of the Lord, had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatling. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with the linen ephod, So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of a trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Micah, Saul's daughter, looked through the window and saw David, saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in his place, and in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched. For it and David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of the offerings, burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well as to the women as men, and to everyone a cake of bread and a piece, a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. You may be seated. On your way down, tell somebody, I'm going to pursue God. I'm going to pursue God. David is now secure in his position as king of Israel. The nation had gathered themselves around him and anointed him to be their king. While David was certainly grateful for the peace that existed in Israel in those days, he knew that Israel was still far away from God. During the days of Saul, Israel had lost sight of their relationship with the Lord. David wanted to make that situation right. He wanted to bring his people back to God. To do this, David knew he was going to have to lead the nation in going after God. Our passage opens with David leading a massive army to retrieve the Ark of the Covenant from the house of a man named Abinadab, who held it for 20 years. David knew that Israel would never be where they needed to be with the Lord spiritually until the Ark was restored as the centerpiece of Israelite worship in everyday life. The Ark of the Covenant was built at the command of the Lord in Exodus 25, 10 through 22, when God gave the command for Moses to build the tabernacle. The word ark means chest or box. The ark was a box of wood that measured 45 inches long and 27 inches wide by 27 inches high. And this box was overlaid in pure gold. It was topped by a golden grate called the mercy seat. On either side of the mercy seat were two golden cherubims. Inside the ark was the golden pot of manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the two tables of the law that was given to Moses at Mount Sinai. It was here that God promised to meet his people. It was here that the blood of the atonement was placed on the Day of Atonement. It was here that the Shekinah glory of the Lord rested on the children of Israel as they journeyed through the wilderness. This ark was vital to the worship of Israel. It was symbolic of God's presence among his people. It often was carried into battle in front of the soldiers, and it was central to their lives, their worship, and their relationship with God. But the ark had not been kept in the central position it deserved, and as a result, neither had God. The ark was gone, and the presence of God was gone from their lives. You see, way back in the days of Eli, some 100 years earlier, the ark had been taken by the Philistines. 1 Samuel 4 and 11 tells us, and the Lord punished the Philistines the whole time that the ark was in their presence. You can find that in 1 Samuel 5 and 6. Their solution was to place the ark on a new cart and allow the cattle that pulled the ark to take the box back to Israel. The Philistines said, hey, get this out of our house. Get it out of our land. They put it on a new cart and allowed a cow to pull it back to Israel. So after 100 years, David is about to take 30,000 men from Israel to lead them by example to how to go after God. Are you with me? Today we don't have no ark. Today we don't have an ark like the Israelites, but we have God's presence. And like they needed God's presence, we need God's presence as well. We need God in us, on us, around us. We need the power and the manifested presence to be in our lives, in our worship. Yeah. This is what the passage is saying to us about this subject of going after God and bringing back his presence and his power. Verse 1 and 2, the desire of David's heart. David had a desire. David, as a man who cared about the things of God, cared about God. He loved what God loved. He hated what God hated. His heart beat in time with God's. This aspect of David's character is revealed in his desire of David's heart. Are you with me? David's desire was clear and simple. He wanted the ark returned to its place, to be where God wanted it to be. He wanted it to be the centerpiece of worship and devotion in Israel. He wanted God to be placed back in the center of the nation's conscience. You know, during the last king, they got a little off. Y'all know what happens, saints. Y'all get a little complacent. Might have to email me an amen on that one. Folks get complacent about their walk with God. David wasn't motivated by any ulterior motives. He was not after glory or power. All David merely wanted to see was God restored to his proper place as his sovereign God of the nation of Israel. He strongly desired that God would be glorified among the people of Israel. Are you with me, saints? David knew that neither he nor Israel would amount to anything without the presence of and the power of God. See, this is the problem. Folks feel like they pulled themselves up on their own bootstraps when they ain't even got no boots. But you and I and anybody else won't amount to nothing without the presence and the power of God. David knew that they did not possess the power or the ability to fend for themselves. They needed God. Again, they needed his presence and his power. Therefore, David set out to bring the ark back to Jerusalem to restore it to the place of prominence in the eyes of the nation. We need hearts like David. We need a heart that beats after God, his power and his presence. We need to learn the lesson that we can do nothing without God. John 15 and 5 tells us that without him, we can't do nothing without his power and his presence. We need his presence and his power if we're going to serve him and carry out his will in our lives. Like David and Israel, it's high time the church rose up and went after God. Yeah. Folks want to go after the music. They want to go after the hairdos and go after the nail job and get your nails done, and you want to look nice, and you want to go after the perfume and the cologne, but it's high time that we start going after God, pursuing him with a mind that's so focused. Y'all know the songwriter, you say, I ain't going to let nobody turn me around, all right? After all we sing, y'all know we sing it, I'm chasing after you. No matter what, are you with me? I'm chasing after you. No matter what I have to do. Why? Because I need you. If you really need him, you'll chase him. Anybody ever missed the bus? You might not have ran in years. But if you got to be from point A to point B, you'll chase that bus. We need to be chasing after pursuing God. If there's one thing that I found out about most church folks, is this one thing. We know how to go after God's hand. Y'all done got quiet. We know how to go after God's hand. Bless me, Lord. But I'm afraid that we do not know how to seek his face. What do you mean, Pastor Tim? Seeking God's face is about knowing God, knowing who he is, knowing him very closely, to walk with him and to have a relationship with him. And this was David's desire. But we know about his hand. God, will you bless me? Lay your hands on, touch me, Lord. Touch me, Lord. Heal me, Lord. Give me some money, Lord. Like he's a cosmic bubblegum machine. Y'all know what I'm saying. We know about his hand, but his face is something a little different. You know, to get face to face with God. Yeah. Well, you can know who he is. You know, when you face to face with somebody, you get to know him. We got to learn how to seek God's face. So David's motives in bringing the ark to Jerusalem were proper, but his method was faulty. Here we go. Instead of being successful, David's method was of transporting the ark resulted in the death of a man named Uzziah. This angered David and created a fear within David's heart towards the Lord. You can find that in verse 8 and 9. The Bible says they set the ark of God upon a new cart. David's first problem was rooted in the fact that he either forgot or ignored the clear command of God as to how the ark was supposed to be transported. Are you with me? The ark was to be lifted up by means of two golden staffs, which were to be passed through the golden rings fashioned on the corner of the ark. You can find all this in Exodus 25, 14, and 15. The ark was then to be lifted up and carried upon the shoulders of the family of the Levites, known as Kohathites. Numbers 3 and 30, 14, 15, 7, and 9. You can find all that. David made good plans and good preparations, but he neglected to do it God's way. As a result, he paid a high price for this decision. Another flaw that marred David's decision is the fact that he did not seek God before he made it. Watch David. The Bible said that he rose up and he told the men to go. But normally, David would go to God first. But this time, David said, hey, I'm going to get the ark. How many of y'all that flew off the hinges met some shiny looking joker? It's on. Met some shiny looking woman, and rather than ask God, amen, somebody. Rather than talk to God first, we just say, well, it's in the book. I'm going in Jesus' name. No, you're going in your own name. And when you finish going in your name, you're going to look like you went in your name. Because anything birthed in the flesh has to be maintained in the flesh. Wow. Here's the problem. Y'all heard me read it earlier. Another problem David had is that his methods were the same methods that had been used by the world, by the uncircumcised Philistines. He put it on a new cart, this newfangled. I'm back. He had the same method that the world used. He put it on the new cart, just like the Philistine. God let them slide because it wasn't nothing but a cow in the ark. And they slapped the cow, and the cow got out of there. But you know how we do. We do it in our, we go in our own way. We do it like the world do it. They jiggling and jaggling, and we want to jiggle and jaggle. Pastor, can we, you know, it's just a dance. I'm back. Another flaw. David's decision. David didn't seek God first, And then he wanted to do it like the world did it. When the Philistines had the ark and wanted to return it to Israel, they placed it on a new cart. Along the way, they passed through some rough choppy of stone and threshing place belonging to Nikon. The oxen stumbled and threatened to throw the ark from the cart. And, you know, Uzzah wasn't being a bad guy. He was just trying to be helpful. But that's the problem. Anytime we don't consult God, we're going to need some help. And the problem is sometimes the help get trampled on. Sometimes the help get ran over because we didn't look out, look to God first. The Bible said David started to fear God after that. The Bible said he got angry because he lost a good man. He lost a good man. And the Bible said he just, hey, I'm going to leave this right where it lay. We got to go home and regroup. Get this done right. See, the problem is when we start trying to act like the world, why would the world come to the church if we doing everything they doing? Folks come to the church and they see everything they do. So, well, hey, I can stay home and do what I do. The Bible said that we're supposed to be saved from our sins, not in our sins. I'm back. He killed Uzziah on the spot. You see, the ark was not only supposed to be carried on the shoulders, but the penalty for touching the ark was death. And Uzziah and David found that out real quick. If this story teaches us anything, it teaches us that God is very interested in the details. We may think that God does not care about the little things in life, but he does. When God gives a command, he expects it to be followed to the letter. God's blessing comes only through the obedience of those who defy his word and his will are going to pay a terrible price, a high price. But his blessings only come to those that's obedient. The best thing a child of God can do is align themselves with the word of God and walk humbly and obedient. You can find that in St. John 14:5, and you can also find it in Malachi 6:8. Failing to seek God's will is just as dangerous as ignoring what he has already told us to do. His children should always pray before they make a move. What does Matthew 6:33 teach us? That we should always pray before we set out to do something. Like Uzziah, we're often guilty of reaching out with our hands instead of reaching up with our hearts. We are guilty of trying to do a spiritual work in the power of the flesh. We attempt to do the work of God with our hands, and we never really get under the burden. That will never work, and God will not bless it. It's a tough lesson, saints. The Bible says that David became angry. He was angry with the Lord, and more likely he was angry with himself and his own foolishness. But instead of repenting and doing things the Lord's way, David chose to instead forget the whole business. He dismissed the people and left the ark where it was. David stopped praising and he started pouting. Y'all know how y'all get when somebody don't agree with you because you think you got a magnanimous ideal, and you know the pastor's still waiting on God to tell him if that's a good ideal. Because I'm just going to be real with you. I ain't the smartest fella, but I will ask God what to do, and I ain't going to move till God tell me what to do. We should not be surprised when God refuses to bless us when we leave the reservation. Don't let that go over your head. Anytime you leave the reservation, anytime you doing your own thing, don't be surprised if God ain't blessing you. When we seek to do his business our way, he will not bless it. When we employ worldly methods in an attempt to do his work, he will not bless it. When we fail to seek his will, he will not bless us. when we operate in the power and the energy of flesh. He will not bless us when we refuse to obey his precepts and principles. He will not bless us. If you want to be disappointed in your walk with Jesus as an individual or as a church, just do everything your way. And watch him refuse to honor it. Watch him send judgment instead. If you want his blessing, then do his business his way, and he will honor it and bring glory to himself through it. David was afraid to bring the ark up, but a man named Obed-Edom was glad to have it in his house. He knew that a man with a clean heart and a pure life had nothing to fear from the Lord. When David closed the door to God, Obed-Edom opened the door, and God blessed him as a result. The Bible said everything in Obed-Edom's house, not only was Obed-Edom blessed, but everything pertaining to him was blessed. If we started doing things the way God asks us to do it, when he asks us to do it, how he asks us to do it, everything pertaining to you, not just you, but everything in your sphere of influence will be blessed. Look at verse 11 and 12. David had forgotten the reasons why he went after the ark in the first place, but he reminded when he hears of the blessings being heaped upon the house of Obed-Edom. David finally decides, I'm going to bring this ark back home. Yes, sir. Why in the world should one man and his family get what the whole nation need? Are you with me? Makes no sense for me and mine to just try to live right and we blessed, rather than to tell everybody, if you live right, heaven belongs to you. If you act right, God will honor you. Bible declares that David went after the ark and brings it home. Apparently, during the 3 months that passed between the death of Uzziah and David's decision to go after the ark, he had been doing his homework. Yeah. Either somebody told David how the ark was supposed to be moved, or he read it in the law himself in 1 Chronicles 15:13-15. Either way, he went and got it, and he brought it home the right way. Are you with me? You got to do things like God, he wants you to do it decent and in order. You can't just put your own little demonic twist in everything that you do. You got to ask God, how in the world should this be done? When should it be done? How, when, and where should it be done? This time, there would be no shortcuts, no disobedience. David would do it the right way, and he would do it the Lord's way. Just to be sure, the Levites would stop after every six steps and David would sacrifice something. Are you with me? David said, well, look here, man. Every time they got six steps, I know it took a long time. I know it took them a long time, but they were sacrificing stuff. How in the world you think he gave meat to everybody in the nation? How in the world you think he gave everybody some bread and some meat? He was cutting it up on the way. Every six steps. Oh, this for Brother Jones' house. Six more steps. This for Pastor White's house. Six more steps. This for Mother Coleman's house. Y'all ain't with me today. Every six steps, he cut something up for somebody else. So when they got home, they would not only know was the ark home, but God's presence was back in the nation. David got his act together. Yeah. So much so that after David started giving stuff out, David broke out in a holy dance. Bible said he danced till his kingly garment came off. Anytime you have done the will of God, the way God wants you to do it, something about the joy comes over your body. A little something get in your feet. The Bible said David danced till his wife got mad. Amen, somebody. Once you done and accomplished what God has sent you and called you to accomplish, something down on the inside start to bubbling over on the outside. And you don't care what folks think, because you dancing before your God. In other words, David laid his robe of sovereignty off and made sure everybody understood that the presence of the Lord is king. I might be standing here as a man, but God's in charge. God's in control. God's over all this. Yeah. He laid aside his pout and got him a shout. He stopped sucking his thumb and went and got the ark. And he did it like God would have him to do it. Some of us need to wake up, stop faking and playing church, and start serving God in the beauty of holiness. I don't think you hear me. David's mission was complete. When all else fails, read the book. Read the instructions. It's right there. It's Route 66. That's the 66 books of the Bible. You can start at Genesis. You can start at Matthew. Don't matter, just get started. And read until God answers from heaven. Read until you know how to do it right. Read until the Lord give you the instructions that you desire. But you gotta read it. Everyone standing. He discovered that God is concerned about proper methods. We serve a God that is concerned about the details. You ever took your car to the car wash? There's a difference between the $20 wash and the detail. Amen, somebody. Not just the price, but the sweat equity. Are you with me? Anytime you get it detailed, your car might not have looked so good when it got there, but it can be old. But once they shine it up, and I mean stuff you didn't even know was still there. You had so much dust that the cruise control was covered. All of a sudden, I didn't even know I still had that. It was covered by dirt. But if you start doing things the way God wants you to do it, you'll find out that this Holy Ghost, this healing virtue, the power to cast out demons, is still there, waiting on you to do it like God say do. You'll find out that the God we serve will not only show up, but he'll show out in your life.
Yes, it will.
You'll find out that the children you've been asking him to save will get saved. You'll find out if you do it like God asked you to do it, if you pay attention to the details. You got to pursue after God, not in your own strength. That's why the Bible declares that we're to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. That's old English. Lean not, right? We say do not lean now. That's new English. But the old said, and lean not to your own understanding. You know why? Your understanding is limited by what you understand, by your capability to understand, by what you're willing.